Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Oh, good evening. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
That's right. Tonight's ENN, it's brought to you by our dearest of friends at DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Hello, girl. Hello, girl.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
And I would give Brittany what she wanted.
Oh, my God.
Two late entries into the match.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Anthony coming up big today, hitting from three. Oh, those are good. Good evening, Michael.
My poop's been fine.
And good evening to Don.
Lambskin protects against pregnancy.
Stop it. Right. Please,
but
no.
Not against disease. It's a really good food for thought.
It's a hell of a drop. I'll tell you what, we're going to see some things. All right, we're not going to spend the whole ENN here. It's a Friday. We're trying to have fun, for God's
That's
sake.
That's right, fun. Yay! Friday.
It's All-Star Weekend. That's Hello, right.
Girl. Hello, girl.
You know what? When Natalie came over earlier, you know what I said when I opened the door?
Hello, girl.
Hello, girl.
That's right.
How you doing?
Has she been there the whole show?
Not sitting in the room with me, but she's here, yes.
Okay.
She's in the other room with the dogs. By the way, it's a very underrated, the Tony Soprano version of Michael's Hello, Girl drop?
Do you realize Hello, girl.
I don't know if you guys have watched it recently enough to remember. We're finishing it tonight, by the way, the last two episodes.
Okay.
Big night for us. Do you realize that any female human between the ages of 6 weeks and 105, Tony greets the exact same way?
And what does he say?
Hey, hon, how you doing? It could literally be a baby. Tony, say hello to your niece. Hey, sweetheart, how you doing?
Now, left me hanging, by the way.
Me?
Yeah, because on one of your 800 podcasts, you interviewed Finn.
Oh, sure, my next-door neighbor.
And so he was in a bar with the rest of the Sopranos, and Tony bought him a drink, and he was effusive in thanking him. And then Tony said, don't go goo-goo over your I'm paraphrasing.
No, he said, you're a great actor, but enough with the fan-ish.
All right, so then what happened after that? Then you cut off the little tease, and I'm not going to listen to a podcast.
No,
so tell me.
Well, you should go listen to One Up His Life. It's tremendous. The story essentially is Will, who played Meadows' boyfriend, had done a scene that day. Don, you may remember it. There's an episode where Meadow, Finn, and I believe AJ and Tony all have dinner, no Carmella, at a restaurant. It was like a second day he did the show, and it was really hot. And Tony, not surprisingly, Gandolfini sweat quite a bit when they did the show, right? And Finn was asking for a fan. He kept asking for a fan, too, because he was so hot. So that night, at the end of this night out, which was a ridiculous story in general, when they're leaving and he goes to thank Tony, James Gandolfini, for the night, Gandolfini says, Will, you're a great actor, but enough with the fan stuff. And at first, he was so young at the time, it took him a long time to figure out what he meant. He thought maybe he was referencing the fan he was using at during the scene. But in fact, it was Gandolfini just being cool and being like, you don't need to thank me and act like you're not part of this.
Okay.
That you're supposed to be here.
Gotcha.
That's very nice.
I wish I met Gandolfini. You ever try to get him for center stage? Had to, right?
I think we did it. We couldn't do it. We couldn't pull off. We had on Steve Van Zandt and Schirripa, but we didn't get Gandolfini.
Well, if you read their book, woke up.
I also had Imperioli too.
You had Imperioli too.
Yeah, but that was one of the two shows that I ever missed, hosted by Bob Arons, because my mom had passed away. It was her funeral that day.
They outlined in the book how he never liked to do any of that stuff. He didn't like to do Leno or Fallon. He hated doing any of that stuff. He'd always turn it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see, when you
he was
look
just all
up
about the process and the work, and he didn't like doing it.
When you look up Gandolfini interview, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you get on YouTube. Inside the Actor's Studio.
How to do that?
You get 60 minutes. And him on SNL momentarily. That's it. Him on a red carpet with Edie Falco, but you do not see, you would think you'd see him with Conan and Leno. You don't see any of it.
No.
That doesn't like it exists.
Good for him.
Ebro's claim to fame with Gandolfini is that he one day saw him outside of the station. He had a motor scooter accident outside of our station.
And then Ebro went up to him and he said to Ebro, hey, baby. Hey, sweetheart.
Hey, hon, how you doing? And Ebro said, you might be a lost cause, my G. And that was the end of the conversation.
You might be a lost cause, my G.
Please go on.
You know, I want to throw this out here. Don, I think this is a great subject. And I don't think Don will be offended. I think Don will be fine with it, because I think he knows it's more in the wheelhouse of my aspiration.
Okay.
For all the things I ask Michael to consider me for, and he makes fun of me and makes me a fool, Don, I believe that when center stage starts again, if, God forbid, there was a situation again in which, what's his name? Michael can't do it. I should be considered to fill in, not Bob Lorenz.
Well, but wait one second, okay?
That's right. I want to jump in.
The only disagreement I've ever had with anybody at Yes was those shows should have been canceled.
Wow.
Rather than done with another host, because there are 200 shows and there's just two that are hosted by Bob. It's kind of
well,
like
I agree
weird.
With that, actually. Hold on. Let me say this. I agree you should not even have a fill-in. It doesn't make sense because it's your show.
Right. They should have not done the show. And
it's not like it's a nightly show that you have to do every night. So
people
it doesn't
have
make
told
sense.
Me that was a mistake. And I told you sure about Imperioli, right?
No.
So Imperioli's doing the show with Bob, and he thinks he's doing the show with me. He said, what happened? Where's Michael? And they said, well, his mom passed away. That night, this huge floral arrangement for Michael Imperioli at the funeral home.
Oh, very nice.
Wow.
Never met the dude.
Yeah, a good guy.
That's class. That's really class. All right, guys. We'll spend a brief moment here on the baseball or lack thereof. Here's Buster Olney on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, saying it's the owners who need to budge.
It's the owners who need to take that big step forward, because they have the most financial ground. They have the most leverage. You know, the line I gave you before was that, you know, in the mid-90s, the perception was that the union had the better lawyers. Well, the perception now is that the owners did, and that manifested in 2016 for sure. So it's the owners who need to take a big step forward. And I'll continue to say this. I've felt like this over the last 6 or 7 years. There needs to be real engagement. We heard about this, you know, negotiation yesterday, 15 minutes.
Buster also said on Barton Hahn earlier, it's the worst he's ever seen the relationship between the players and owners.
It is, without a doubt, the worst relationship that I've seen between Major League Baseball and the Players Association. I started covering the sport in 1989, and it's shocking how little contact they have, not only in the last 2 months, But, you know, leading up to the 2016 agreement, there was not much give and take at all. There hasn't been in recent years. I think there have been opportunities for the players to, you know, to try to win some financial landscape back by monetizing, you know, some of the owner's desires, like initiatives, on-field initiatives. Those discussions haven't taken place. The working relationship has remained absolutely terrible. And I got to tell you that there are a lot of people at the team level, you know, club executives, and there are a lot of players who are watching this play out with the lack of dialogue, saying, what the hell is going on?
But there will be dialogue starting on Monday. They're going to meet every single day. Hal Steinbrenner is flying in. The other owners that are on the executive committee, they're going to meet face-to-face with the players, and hopefully they could bang it out. They're committed to meeting every single day in New York. But remember, they've got the week. And if it goes past the week without a settlement, then baseball, I believe, is going to be delayed. We've already lost the first week of spring training games.
Well, not according to the players.
No, I mean, they are gone. They've lost them. They've been canceled, so. The first game was supposed to be February 26th. Now they're saying it's all the games are postponed until March 5th.
Mm. The Nets, you're familiar with them.
Oh, sure.
They lost. That's right.
To Washington.
What?
Yeah, and Washington's not a great team, but I got news for you about the Nets minus their half of their roster. Also not a great team. Here's Steve Nash on the loss.
They made some big shots. I mean, Ish Smith made a bunch of shots down the stretch. You know, they made, we missed. I thought the guys worked really hard. I think JJ was a big miss for us tonight. Kind of the one guy that can really create separation off the dribble and facilitate offense for us. We just couldn't really get enough going offensively, paint touches and spraying the ball around and getting cleaner looks. And we were just really small as well. So I felt for them. They worked their butts off.
Now, I'm not a huge gambler, but if you followed me, you followed the champion during the football season. But I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. I would think, and I wonder if you would agree with me, Peter, if you bet against a team every time they played the second game of a back-to-back, I think you'd make a lot of money.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's unbelievable what an effect it has on teams.
It's wild. I mean,
although you look at the Sixers, and the Sixers lost one night. They got taken to the woodshed, and then they go and they beat Milwaukee. So the very
last
night.
But
I think there's something to it.
Last night I bet the Wizards at halftime. It was halftime. I think it was 55-51. No, when I bet it was 51 all. And the Wizards still played out like a slight dog. And I just knew I'm like, the Nets aren't going to finish this game.
I remember
the second half of a back-to-back with all their big players gone, and the Wizards easily covered.
And it affected the Knicks. Because the Wizards are between the Knicks and the Hawks. Got to climb over the Wizards to get to the Hawks at 10, right?
So then I tried to get cute with that money that I won.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, this is where you start going wrong, right? So I flip on to TNT.
On TeeWee.
Yeah, it is on TeeWee. And it was the Sixers and the Bucks. And when I got to the game,
pick 'em.
Bet it. I did. The Bucks were down eight or nine, and so they then the Bucks then paid out on the money line as a pretty good dog, and I said, you know what?
You got hubristic.
I'm gonna go with the Bucks here and get a good payout if they can come back and win. Yeah, they lost 123-120. And
I gotta tell you, this gambling's a rush, man.
Andrew points out to me that was not there was a day off. It was not a back to back, so that still does work. The Sixers had played 2 days before, not the day before.
No, the Sixers wasn't a back-to-back.
I thought it was.
No. It would have been a guarantee.
They got smacked by the Celtics.
I mean, yeah, by the way, Andrew, I'm sorry, no disrespect. Can you even consider that a game?
Ooh.
It's like they didn't even play this week. That was their first game, was yesterday.
I will fight you after this show.
I got to tell you guys, though, Joel Embiid last night, 14-21, 42 points and 14 boards. I don't know the last time you sat back and like watched Embiid. Are we like appreciating how good he is?
Not really.
Like, you know, I don't think he gets talked about in the terms that he deserves to be when you think about a 7-foot player who's averaging 29 points, 11 boards, and almost 5 assists. the way he plays the game, too, how slickly he plays and smoothly he plays the game, can step back and shoot it from three. Like, who's Embiid? Like, I want to know, who is the best comp? Andrew, I'm sure, will text us immediately. Who's the best comp for Embiid? He's a very unique style of play. And I love his attitude.
You know, maybe Antetokounmpo.
But Antetokounmpo can't step back and shoot it as well as Embiid.
Okay.
And Antetokounmpo is almost the same size, but he plays more of an up-tempo, cutting, slashing to the basket, dunking kind of deal. Embiid has more of the traditional, can give you the center, back you down, turn around. Like there, it is, but it's not a terrible comp, but it is still slightly different. But you know what else I love about him? He's one of the few guys, we talked about how soft this league is. He's one of the few guys who's open about not liking people. I like that too.
Yeah, that is a rarity.
Like, I don't know if you guys saw the tweet the day of the trade, but he was pretty clear about his feelings on Ben Simmons. Yeah, I like Joel Embiid. He's they stumbled into a real good player during that. I guess you can't call it a stumble. It was the process, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
The process. Joel Embiid has 9 40-point, 10-rebound games a season. Over the last 30 years, the only players with more in a season are Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
Pretty special.
That was one of the years that Harden felt like playing.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is just a wacky story. But we need to follow up because we're journalists here on this show, as you know. Yesterday we talked about the Stafford's story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The lady who was taking a picture of them at the parade, she fell off of the stage, and she fractured her spine. Later, and people were critical of Matt Stafford because his reaction was like, "Oh my God!" He literally said, "Oh my God!" and then just awkwardly walked away, and didn't help. And then he got roasted for the way he handled it, and Matt and Kelly Stafford said they're paying for her bills. Story's over. But it's 2022, and no story's over.
No.
I guess when people were killing Matt Stafford, my guess is it came from people then defending Stafford, said, let me do a little research into this lady who fell. And today, it's just a mess. Because they go back and look at her Twitter history, and she was a Twitter monster in the mid-2010s.
Really? Like, monster in what way?
Racist, homophobic. Really? I gotta say, a pretty special array of groups that she decided to say horrible things about. And it's one of those bizarre things where it's like, okay, well, what do you do with this information? Yeah, it turns out that at least some time ago, sounds like she was a pretty bad person 8 years ago, had some horrible things to say. Same time, I don't know how old she is. I don't know how old she was then. And does it now, do I feel better about the fact that she fell backwards and sprained and fractured her back?
Yeah, but Stafford didn't know any of that.
Exactly. And also, what about that part? Stafford didn't go, oh my God, I bet she's a racist. Like, I just found the whole thing to be the most 2022 story of all time.
Also, didn't she, like, tweet out a lot of stuff when she fell? That's how it became very known. So when you've got this smoking gun smoldering in the back of your closet, why would you do that?
Well, that's the thing. And Incarcerated Bob texted me earlier. He's always up on these internet sort of stories. And he's like, if you're going to go viral, you have to scrub your Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with Brillo.
I mean, we'll never forget the craziest, the fastest example was what's-his-face, the Brewers, former Brewers pitcher from the All-Star game a few years ago.
Oh, Hader.
Josh Hader.
Yeah.
When literally, Hader's having an incredible All-Star performance, So finally people are paying attention to him on a national scale. And then within the same hour, they unearth his racist tweets.
I remember the stuff with Jake Fromm?
No.
Oh, he said really terrible things as well.
And it happened in the same way?
No, he was having, you know, he was about to be, after Georgia, he was being drafted. And, you know, people dig up that stuff, which I tell my kids all the time. They'll find it. And he had some really objectionable things. And, I mean, it turned out that he wasn't that great of a quarterback anyway, but I'm sure that didn't help his standing.
Yeah.
Anyways, wacky, wacky stuff.
Did you see this stat, Peter?
Go ahead.
The U.S.-Canada women's gold medal hockey game on NBC averaged 3.54 million viewers. That's more viewers than any NHL game this season.
Yeah.
Second most watched hockey game in the United States since 2019. And it was on at 11 o'clock at night.
Wow,
that's
pretty
cool. It's a really good rivalry. It's really the only two countries that are any good in hockey, and they hate each other. I'm not surprised by that at all. The Olympics do an amazing number for as much as we don't care.
I know.
It hasn't this year, this time, Don.
Well, relatively speaking.
Right.
There's not many shows going up against it.
The NFL, as you know, announced that they will be handling an investigation into Dan Snyder's improprieties with the Washington Commanders.
Is that right?
And it is now apparent that the Washington Commanders will no longer pursue their own investigation and will, quote, fully cooperate with the NFL's investigation.
Now, isn't that interesting, though? Because the same day, they said they will not be investigating what happened in Dallas because the team took care of it.
Ah, that's always good.
So isn't that warring messages there?
That is very odd.
But as you said, maybe they've all said, it's time to get Daniel out.
The worm might be turning on him, Peter.
Because I don't think. They know what are in his emails. The ones that they won't let anybody see. They know.
I'm telling you, I think it may be. I think, Don, I think there's a chance I get out from under this.
There might be a couple of emails that said, great point, John. I mean, John Gruden.
Right.
I agree, Bruce.
Brian Flores sat down with the I Am Athlete podcast, Brandon Marshall and Chad Johnson's podcast with Omar Kelly. And he talked about his relationship with Tua Tagovailoa. It was strained. It wasn't strained. I think we had a good relationship. It was a player-coach relationship. And I think in a relationship like that, the coach challenges the player, and oftentimes the player challenges the coach. He also added that he has faith in Tagovailoa for the future and that he didn't understand the narrative that had been built around them. Quote, there's a great deal of respect between the two of us. So you hear this crazy kind of narrative that's out there, but this is a young man who works, developed, and got better over 2 years, and I think he's got a bright future, Flores said. Of course, when Flores got fired, the narrative that came out the next day was that it stemmed from a turbulent relationship with his quarterback.
And that was a narrative that the Dolphins wanted out. And that's, I think, what really sent Flores over the edge.
Michael, The Undertaker will be the latest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. It was announced, the ceremony, which will take place after SmackDown, and air on the WWE on Peacock on April 1st, will feature the Dead Man's entry into the Hall of Fame. And
that
finally,
could be a whole April Fool's Day joke.
Ooh. Finally, any chance of him returning will rest in peace. Suns and Warriors enter the All-Star break as betting favorites.
Wow.
Yeah, because both were considered sort of second-tier contenders to begin the season, although I don't understand that around the Suns. But they enter the All-Star break as the favorites to win the title at sportsbooks around the nation. Meanwhile, the Nets and Lakers, who tipped off the season as the favorites, now have fallen back. The Suns are plus 450. The Warriors plus 475. Guys, I like the Suns at plus 450. And can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why are the former champions not higher than both? Why don't they think the Bucks will be there?
Pick them.
Because I think a lot of people still remember that if Kevin Durant had a foot size, you know, one All shorter, right. that the Nets probably go
Okay,
on.
But who's beating them this year?
I think
well, the Sixers
Nets
last night, but still.
I think the Nets could.
Okay.
If they're, you know, if they're all together and Kyrie's playing.
The Sixers can play with them, too, as we saw last night, but.
Mm-hmm. Don't now, go to sleep on those Celtics, all right, Pete?
Don't do
I
it.
I wouldn't. They had a terrible loss two nights ago that sort of harkened back to the beginning of the year.
I don't know if you've seen what this coach has done, though. He's really changed the way they play basketball. That's why they started off so poorly.
Yep.
They were an ISO team.
Yep.
The two best players would just hog the ball, and he preached over and over, got to pass the ball, move it around, you'll get better shots, and they finally bought in.
And now they play this up-tempo game, and they're literally a different team. Like I said, they blew a lead a couple nights ago, which hurt them, but they, I think, won seven straight. They're actually becoming a team you might not want to see.
Yeah, they lost to the Pistons. Not good.
That's not what you want, unfortunately. Some all-star stuff. You guys interested in betting the three-point shootout, perhaps? That could be a fun one, Don. I feel like that's a fun bet to watch.
Give me Patty Mills. What's the odds Ooh. On Patty?
All right, you want Patty Mills? You can get him at plus 500, Michael.
Take it.
How about Trey Young at plus 550?
I'll pass.
How about Zach LaVine plus 600?
No.
Mm.
How about Carl Anthony Towns at plus 1,200?
He's in the
three-point
contest? I can't believe he's in it.
That's fun. Here.
Yeah, give me Patty Mills.
Fred VanVleet plus 500.
Love the name.
Dunk contest.
Hmm.
I do not see the odds, but if you're interested, you got Jalen Green, Cole Anthony, Juan Toscano-Anderson, and your very own Obi Toppin.
Oh, yeah.
You know why I wouldn't bet that?
Because the whole thing's ridiculous?
Because it could be easily fixed. The three-point contest, you either hit the shots or not. But here you've
but
got
that can
people.
Be fixed, too, in
no,
some
it can't.
Way.
How can it be fixed? You either hit the shots or you don't.
Right.
But the dunk contest, you've got, five, four. I mean, it's
so you're saying someone, you're judges. Saying, you're saying, like, my guess is, I'm predicting this, and I think I'll nail this. So, invariably, when tomorrow night, Larry Nance is one of the judges, right?
Right. Or Dr. J.
Right, no, they'll always have the local one. Nance has to be the local one from
right.
Cleveland,
I would imagine. Dougherty will be there.
Right. So one of those guys is, you're saying Mark Price is going to be on the tape.
Right.
Mark has a price, is what you're saying. And yes. right. someone's going to slip Mark Price a few $100, and now the whole thing's off.
That's why.
Sweeney Murdy was there?
You'd be a lunatic if you bet, like, Olympic skating. It's the discretion of a human being.
All right, well,
something black and white. Who scored the most runs, the most points? Go.
That's it.
Well, maybe you'll be more interested in the All-Star Game MVP odds then, Michael.
Mm.
Okay. But it's also picked by human beings, please.
Giannis at plus 450.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid at plus 600. LeBron at plus 600. Morant at plus 750. Here are the fun ones. Don, you're going to get tempted by this. I got a hunch.
Okay.
Steph at plus 900.
Mm. Oh, that's a very tasty.
That's tasty.
And Luka at plus 1,200. Those are both fun. Either of any of these guys could win it. Steph, this year, I could really see.
It comes down to which guy wants it.
Right. Who's going to be? They'll just choose to take the shots.
I want to win that. You could just tell from the beginning who wants to win the MVP. And now they get that really sweet looking Kobe Bryant trophy.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. That, you know what? Maybe they'll want it more. It's like a little bit more.
Right. Maybe LeBron will want it.
Meaningful. And on this day, in 1999. Roger Clemens traded by the Blue Jays to the Yankees for
David Wells.
And I'll give you, Michael, I'll give
Benny
you
Benny Agbayani.
I'll give you 10 crisp American dollars if you get one of them.
Joe Skihoang.
If you get both, I'll give you 20 American dollars.
Is Homer Bush in there?
Oh, my God. I owe you $10.
Wow.
One more.
There's one more.
Do you know who you're dealing with?
I mean, I'm at
Hospodar.
Can you tell me what position this person is?
No, because I would have to know the position. Never heard of this person in my life.
Really?
I haven't, no. I mean, maybe you'll say I'm an idiot. But
former Raven. Replied.
Or current
give me
Raven.
Initials.
Oh, like the game
he's,
doesn't need him.
Sorry,
he's a Charger
give me
now.
The initials.
He's a Charger. Oh, no, he's a Ram.
Okay, hold on. Let me see if I... He's a pitcher. He's a pitcher. Not a glass of water.
All right, and give me initials.
And his initials are GL.
All right, Graham Lloyd.
There you go. I refer to him, Don, only as the great Graham Lloyd.
You know what?
Australian.
He was great.
He was good.
How long was he great for?
He helped the Yankees win in 96 and 98. Left-handers couldn't get a hit off of him. What a cool guy. Graham Lloyd comes into town a lot. I'm going to get you. You would love Graham Lloyd.
Well, now I feel bad that I didn't know much about Graham Lloyd.
What a great dude. Funny, sarcastic. He's outstanding. All with an Australian accent.
And was middle relief?
He's kind of a specialist. Bring him in, right. Lefties.
Well, it looks here, Michael, his numbers in 96, at least in regular season, look awful.
Right, and then they had to decide whether or not to keep him on the roster.
But then in 97 and 98, he was very good.
But look at his numbers in the postseason in 96. He was automatic. You couldn't hit him.
Australian, he'd bring some of that bushweed with him.
Excuse me?
Come to New York.
Wow, hold on. Postseason pitching in 96.
Unhittable.
Yeah, he was very good. Very good. His ERA was zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's called unhittable. Good.
That is unhittable. That's actually unhittable. That'll do it for ENN, which tonight brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker, the Triple Double, all made with Hennessy VS. Visit Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly. And congratulations to the winners who had Homer Bush and Graham Lloyd in their ENN pool. For random names we would talk about today.
I remember that day because I remember when they told Wells he was a combination of completely chapped and dumbfounded. He was so ticked off. He loved being a Yankee so much, but they couldn't turn down the chance to get Roger Clemens. We'll come back, take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.